come once more again into your presence. We thank you, Master, for what you did on that cross. You died and you shed your precious blood. And only God could die for our sins. No human can die for sin. It took God to die on that cross for our sin. And so when a person don't recognize Jesus Christ as being the God and the Godhead to die for sin, they're starting in the wrong place in their thinking. So Lord, help us to realize you came a man and died for each and every one of our sins, individually and collectively. Now let us live a life that's completely sold out for you. For you to have your way over our thinking, over our mind, over our action, so that your level of righteousness will be able to be seen here on the planet. So Lord, let us sacrifice the offering of fasting to show we are dedicated and committed unto you. Have your way. You can turn the country around if your people, which are called by your name, would humble themselves and seek your face and pray, things would change. But we got to turn, not the nation, but your people. So Lord, help us to understand, blessings only come through your people here on the planet and in the world. So Lord, we ask you to open up our understanding to realize we have a responsibility to let Christ be seen through us if we name the name of Jesus. So Lord, have your way, and we will continue to give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' wonderful, magnificent name we pray, and the saints of God that are in agreement with this prayer say amen.
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 In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Now, if you will, stand to your feet.
Amen.
Opening scripture is Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 16 through 18. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 16 through 18. And we're going to continue to talk about fasting. You are fasting, right?
Amen.
And I think, according to my calculations, you should have fasted at least 90 hours after this evening. 90 hours. It ain't as hard as you think it is, because God's with you.
Amen.
Verse 16. Whenever you fast, pay attention to that. Do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they may will appear to be noticed by men. And when they are fasting, y'all see that? Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Verse 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Verse 18. So that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but your Father who is in secret. Pay attention to this reason why you're fasting. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Yeah.
You may be seated. Sermon text this morning, ST this morning, fasting points. Fasting points. Now, if you're here in the sanctuary, you have been given some notes. And those notes near the end of the sermon we're going to get into, because they're all benefits associated with fasting. But before we do that, I want to look at the text that's in Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 16. Because it says in the opening passage, when you fast. See, you don't have to fast. Fasting is a privilege that God has given his people to get his attention. So what does fasting first shows? It shows dependence on God. When you say, I ain't going to fast, you're telling God, I ain't dependent on you. Because if you want to make a successful fast, you're going to have what? You're going to have him. So fasting already shows you in verse 16 through 17 your motive. Fasting reveals your motive to God. But I want to ask you a question. Is it revealing it to you? Why are you fasting? What's the reason of your fast? And it's easily to be seen by God if it's selfish, if it's for stuff, And if it missed getting closer to have a relationship with him, you know, already missed the whole point of the fast. Verse 18 gives us the answer to why fasting has been put in place. See what it says? Your Father who sees what is done. So the reason why you're fasting is because you're seeking God. How bad do you really want God? How bad do you really want God and His ways? And let me do a little bit more teaching. Past sermon, we talked about three ways to fast. Didn't we? There's a normal fast. There's a partial fast. And then there's a total fast. The normal fast in Luke chapter 4, verse 2, Jesus did it and he showed us how. He says, for 40 days he was tempted by the devil and he ate nothing during those days. Now, do you think you can go 40 days without eating?
No, I don't think so.
Be honest with you, I have a problem just making 3 days.
One day.
An hour.
He says Jesus fasted from food for 40 days. And then Satan came to him and tempted him. And it told you why he was fasting. He got hungry. So fasting is abstaining from food. All right? Partial fasting. A partial fast, we can give a demonstration in Matthew the 3rd chapter, verse 4. By John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist fast from? He did a partial fast because he only ate locusts and honey. See what it says in verse 4? Now John himself, and that's John the Baptist, had a garment of camel's hair and leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. So you can fast from certain foods or certain things. I challenge you, if you want to strengthen your mind, fast yourself from that television. Because most of the stuff that's coming through your mind from television is poisoning it. You want to do a good fast? Fast away from your telephone. I know that doesn't hurt a lot of people. Then there's the last one, a total fast. You can find that in Acts chapter 9, verse 9. A total fast is when you abstain from food and water. And when you have, if you've been a part of the teaching on the fast, don't go too long without water. If you want to intensify your fast, abstain from food and water. And I'm going to tell you, you really will know what's going on between you and God when you go without food and water. Now, let me make sure you know, if you're on medication and under the doctor's prescription, make sure you keep taking the medication. All right? Before you do the fast. Acts 9 and 9 says, and he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. So Paul, when he was called into the ministry, he fasted. And it was an intense fast. So let's begin and point out the things of the fast. First of all, when you're fasting, we're going to look at next week, Nehemiah, the first chapter, verse 3 through 10. And I'm going to give you the outline. You don't have to write it down because I want to give it to you again next week. First of all, in a fast, which Nehemiah showed us, verse 3, there is a problem. When you go to the Lord, you're interceding because there's something going on. You need Him and Him alone to work out.
Direction, yeah.
Second thing in a fast, your response. When a problem comes up, God is looking to see how you're going to handle it. How you're going to respond. And then the third thing in the outline in that text, it should be with prayer.
Amen.
Prayer and fasting. And at the end of your prayer, near the end, the last of those bullet points is you show God what your request is. You ask Him what the request is. So now, look on the handout. You have your handout handy? Look on the handout. We're going to talk about fasting points. Fasting points. Point number one, SG number one. ST number one. And you don't have to turn to all the verses running the multimedia this morning, because I'm just going to go through them. And hopefully those that are in the sanctuary have the handout. You can look at them later. First of all, fasting reveals, it always reveals what you're hungry for. See, it's not just food. There's something that God wants you to see. Are you hungry for Him? Are you thirsty for spiritual things? Matthew 5 and 6. It says, those that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. When you're fasting, it reveals the real motive down inside of you, even if you don't know it. All right, y'all got that first point?
Amen.
Fasting reveals if you're, how hungry you are. Second thing, fasting helps clear up and purge your mind and your desires. Check out Hebrews 10 and 22. It will show you what's going on inside of you and what's really being cleaned up. And if you look at how messed up your mind is and what God sees, you ought to be shaming yourself. And some of the thoughts that you put in your mind and think is okay. Now let me tell you, when you stand before God someday and He's going to show the video, you're going to hang your head on what you were putting all your effort into. And that's between you and Him. God will say, nah, ain't you shaming yourself that whole day you spent thinking and doing that? But He's trying to purge your mind. Let's look at the third thing. Fasting helps you learn discernment. See, discerning good from bad. Godly from ungodly. Let me do a little teaching. It's nothing wrong to judge and use discernment. It's you got to do it right. See the difference?
Yeah.
Because God gave us discernment. God gave us the desire to see right from wrong.
That's it.
But if you don't use it properly, you're going to result in thinking the wrong thing.
Amen.
Fasting helps you get that discernment. What's the next thing fasting does? Fasting gives you a chance to reset your mind.
Yeah.
Romans 12 and 2. How? By the renewing of your mind. See, when you go and you get to the near the middle or end of your fast, then God is checking your thinking out. And your thinking should have changed from when you first started to fast.
Amen.
If you thought it was all right to hate somebody, near the end of the fast, you should be convicted because God has told you to love. That's changing your mind, isn't it?
Amen.
Look at the next thing fasting will do. Fasting will allow you to focus. When you abstain from food, when you abstain from water, it's going to help you focus. And it's going to help you see, what are you looking at? Are you really looking at God and how He's enabled you to be able to do it? Or are you looking at your effort? Let's look at the next thing that fasting will do. Fasting will help you be aware of the unseen and the demonic.
Yeah.
Look at the handout. Be sensitive to the ungodly and unseen forces. You ever been doing something and all of a sudden you get the most wildest thought in your head? That ain't no accident. The demons are trying to mess you up. And they start by messing your mind up.
Yeah.
You ever get mad at somebody? You ever wonder, why did I get so mad at him? Why did I get so mad at her? Let me help you out. Some demons help you get that mad. And put some thoughts in your head. You know you're going to let them get away with that? Come on, you ever thought something like that?
Yeah.
Let me put my leg. You want to see my leg? All three of them. See, Satan and the demonic realm will put stuff in your thinking to make you think your enemy is a human being. Your enemy is not the human being, is they're making you think so. That's why racism is so bad. Because the unseen realm is doing their best to mess this world up. Let's get to the next thing. The next thing about fasting shows your mindset. Romans chapter 8 gives us a good view. Whatever you set your mind on, your whole body and whole effort is going to go in that direction. If it's on doing wrong, it's going to go that way. If it's doing right, it's going to go that way. Wherever your mindset is on, the benefit of fasting reveals that. Let's get to the next point. The next point, fasting helps you if you are bringing your views along God's views. your thoughts compared to his thoughts. And you need to check every one of these verses out. Ezekiel is a good passage. And let me explain it, because I know a lot of us will look at it and won't get it. In that passage in Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter, God gets mad at Israel because they bring their doorposts beside his doorposts. What that means is they're bringing their threshold beside God's threshold. God said, you're bringing your views and your beliefs alongside mine, and you think they're equal?
Yeah.
Your human thinking is already contaminated with sin. And then you're going to bring it alongside of God's and say, well, ain't they equal? They all right. Well, God, it's all right for me to hate somebody if they're doing me wrong. No, the Bible don't say that. See how it can be contaminated? Let's look at the next point. Fastings help you see if you are yielding to God. And don't you know why you're on this fast? Satan going to really tempt you. Things that you normally wouldn't have a problem with on this fast, Satan going to step it up. Ever since I've been on this fast, times where I know I normally wouldn't eat, somebody can relate to that? I want to go get something. Why? Because you want to see, are you going to yield to God? Now let me say this, if you promise God that from 8 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning you're not going to eat anything, fulfill your vow. Deacon said it 2 or 3 weeks ago, whatever you promise God, fulfill it, because you're sinning if you don't. That's why I tell people, if you say, Pastor, I'm with you, be careful. Are you really with me? Because when you say you're going to do something, God holds you to it. And he will condemn you if you don't fulfill it. Let's get to the last thing. Fasting reveals if you are denying yourself. Are you denying yourself? Luke 9 and 23. God is always looking. Are you putting yourself first? Remember, fasting reveals your motive. Fasting reveals what's going on between you and God. And God is always looking. And you know who doesn't know what's happening? Most of us. And all he's trying to show you is what's going on between you and me. What did he do with Adam? In the cool of the day, he came down and he asked Adam, where are you? And he's been asking mankind ever since, every day of their life, what's going on between you and the sovereign Lord God of the universe? And you tell him nothing. And God said, no, yeah, there is some issues, because you're not dealing with sin. You don't see yourself, and you're busy seeing other people. So now let's look at the text in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. He says, when you fast. Put that up there for me, if you will. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 16. In other words, when you're fasting, there are some conditions, there are some things that ought to be taking place, that you're mindful of it, and you're aware of what God sees, and you're aware of what people see. Why? It's already revealing your motive. He tells you don't do it so people can give you credit. I've seen people say, boy, I've been fasting for the last week. They done lost their reward. Because they're trying to show what? Trying to show off. Do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. Are you being hypocritical? For they neglect their appearance. So that they will be noticed. Notice by who? By who? You want to let some of the people in the church think you all that in a bag of chips? Yeah, Pastor, I've been along with you in the fast. A matter of fact, I'm going to go a couple of hours longer. You just lost your reward. I don't need to know what's going on. That's between you and God. He says, when they are fasting. See, and the fasting, let me do a little teaching, is a sacrifice, just like in the Old Testament, of putting up a lamb or animal on the altar and the incense going up to God. Well, what you do every day is an offering to God.
Amen.
Everything you do shows God what's going on inside of you. You can't hide it. If you just cuss somebody out because they pull in front of you on the freeway, guess where that came from?
No, Pastor, no.
From the very condition of your heart. And I've learned God allows traffic for your pastor to get frustrated because he's trying to show him what he like.
No, Pastor, no.
And God say fasting shows what's going on inside of you. Because if you want to complete the fast, you got to have who to help you. See? Look, notice what else he says. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. When you tell somebody I'm on a fast, you just nullified all the blessings. And you might have been somewhat sincere in the process, but you got your reward right then when you start telling people what you're doing.
Yeah.
He says, how do you do it? You do it in such a way, it's between you and God.
Uh-huh.
Verse 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. See, what these Jews and these scribes and Pharisees did, they went out and they looked like they was doing this fast. They had ashes and stuff all over them and looking like, you know, looked like they just got out of bed and looking like I need help. And God says, see, they got their reward. They're trying to impress people. Look what he says in verse 18, the reason why to fast. So that, know what it says? That your Father who sees in secret. What does it mean to be in secret? Nobody know but you and him. When you're fasting, this is personal. See the points? It's intimate. And your Father who sees what is done. Are you doing the fast? Does God see it? Does God see it? If God sees it, you know what it's showing? Do you know what it's showing? You're seeking him. And it's revealing your motive. Lord, I can't do this without you. I'm dependent on you. I'm relying on you. I want a relationship with you. And you know what God said? When I see what is done, when I see you reaching out to me, the Bible says he is a rewarder to those that what?
Diligently seek him.
When I see that you done gave up all that stuff that might be a blessing to you for me, I'll reward you. See that? And not only will I reward you, you'll know that I've been a blessing to you.
Openly, yeah.
See, but a lot of times we want what people want to give us. I've learned people will let you down time and time again. So you put your hope in who?
God.
Put your hope in who?
Jesus Christ. Come on.
So do y'all have those fasting points?
Amen.
And I challenge you, as you go through the week, go look at all those points. It reveals your hunger. It reveals your mind. It see if you have discernment. You've learned discernment. It shows you a reset of your mind. It shows you where you're focused. It shows you where you are aware of the unseen and demonic realm. It shows you your mindset. It reveals your thoughts. It shows you if you are yielding to him and if you are denying yourself. Put those sermon texts, number one, back up there, if you will. Do y'all see those?
Amen.
Do you have them on the handout? And I challenge you, next week, look at those. And for those that are on the phone line that like to get a copy of those fasting points, get with the pastor and I'll see if I can get them to you, or you can come by the church and get one. Amen?
Amen.
Now what I want to do now is introduce you to next week's sermon. And it's going to be found in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And do you know everything you do shows your willpower, don't you? Everything you do shows you where your will is. Willpower, a person said, it took a lot of willpower, but I finally gave up fasting and denied myself of food. That's a lot of effort, isn't it? See, it doesn't do you no good if it don't hurt. It doesn't do you no good if it's not something. See, you, let me put it like this. I think of something I don't like. Because it's very, very. Okay, your pastor does not like chitlins, okay? You can cook as many chitlins as you like. Pastor won't touch not one of them. So there ain't no sacrifice for me not to eat no chitlins. Now, it might be a sacrifice for some of y'all.
No, not me.
But what God is saying to you, if it doesn't hurt on what you want, it's not a sacrifice. Sacrifice always costs you something. So when you put up a sacrifice to God, look at what it's going to cost you. And so when you're denying those things that you really got to have and you really enjoy, now that's the kind of fast God is impressed with. So he says in Matthew, the 6th chapter, when you fast. So look, if you will, I want to give you an outline of next week's sermon about Nehemiah. Nehemiah had the right attitude of how to get God to work on his behalf. You'll see in the outline, you'll see in the next week's outline in Nehemiah, verse 3, that was a problem. Look what it says in verse 3. What was the problem? The walls of Jerusalem were torn down and the gates were burned with fire. So the problem was the people of God no longer had a physical protection from the enemy around them. And Nehemiah, in a heathen country, was moved by that information. So let's get to the second point. Verse 4, his response. What was his response? He prayed and fasted. If you want to change things in your world and in your home, just fast and pray. And do it in that order. Fast first and then pray. Because that's what Nehemiah did. See what he did? He didn't start praying first. And the order in the text is very important. He fasted when? First. Then he prayed. Who did he pray to? Keep looking at verse 4. To the God of heaven. When you fast, you're fasting to God. You're not fasting to people. You're not fasting to the government. You're not fasting to the pastor. You're not fasting to nobody but God. And then from verses 4 down to 11, we see the prayer. And next week we're going to get into the details of that prayer. This is just the outline of how you see now Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. But what I like about that is in the prayer, you see what he did in verse 11, and that is the request. So y'all have the outline? Let me give you the outline again. There was a problem. Verse 3, that was a response. Verse 4, that was a prayer. Verse 5 through 11. And five through 11. And in verse 11, there's a request. What was the request? Lord, hear my prayer. Be attentive to my request. And intercede before this man, the king. So we'll get into that next week. You got a blessing out of the message this morning? And let me challenge you. Keep fasting for an intimate relationship with God. Plan to fast. Because if you don't plan, you plan to fail. The best fasting plan, every time I make a plan to fast, I can hear my stomach laughing. You ever go without food and you hear your stomach be growling? So put something down here, put something down here, put something down here, ain't nothing going on. God is constantly showing you, are you fasting to seek his will? Are you fasting to know him? So let's look at the closing passage that I want to look at, and then we'll close the service. St. John chapter 4. We see how Jesus, St. John chapter 4 verse 31, how he went out of his way to meet a Gentile, a Samaritan woman, water at the well. And guess what? He had to send them racist Jews away. I'm just doing a little teaching. If you know somebody got an issue with somebody of a different nationality, you've got to sometimes get them out of the situation before you minister. Look what it says in verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him after he had gotten back and he had witnessed to the woman at the well and they had brought him some food. They got concerned. They said, meanwhile, the disciples was urging him, saying, Rabboni, eat. You know, I like what Jesus said in verse 32. See, you need to sacrifice and make sure you're doing the food that God created you to do. And only you have been assigned for that task. What is the food that God has given you that you should be doing? He says in verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. Now, what was Jesus talking about? Was he talking about physical food? He's talking about spiritual food.
Yeah.
A lot of times we miss the spiritual food that God wants us to put into practice because we're so busy looking for the physical food. It's best that you fast until you find out what God has put you on the planet to do. What did God create you for? What is your task? And it's so custom made that only you and you alone know that you have to be the one to do it. Jesus said, I got some food that you don't know nothing about. Look what it says. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? A lot of times, you come to church, some of this teaching go right over our head. We miss it. Verse 34, and Jesus said to them, my food, are y'all listening? My fast, my desire is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Is that your desire every day? To do what Jesus created you to do? And let me just say this, you are a Christian, you are a born again believer in Christ if you have been saved.
Amen.
And that supersedes everything else in your life. It supersedes your color. It supersedes your job. It supersedes everything you can think of because Christ needs to be first.
Amen.
So Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. And guess what? He also has sent who?
Me.
He also has sent you. You do know there's a reason for your fast, don't you? There's a reason for your fast. There are two reasons people do things. There's the good reason, and then there's the real reason. They'll miss that. And God always looks at the real reason. See, you can do it because you think it's a good cause, a good purpose, but is that really the real reason why you're doing it? God exposes your real reason in the middle of the fast. So now we're going to close the sermon out today. I want you to ask yourself, have I been born again? Have I been saved? If you have been saved and you have been born again, you need to accept that calling that God has over your life.
Amen.
You didn't get saved for you. You got saved for who? For his purpose.
Yeah.
You open the doors of the church.